Douglas is Cameroon calling. Weekly magazine of news reports, interviews, commentaries, opinions, and analysis. Cameroon Calling is a production of the news department of the Cameroon Radio Television Corporation, CRTV.
Welcome to Cameroon Calling. Cameroon became engulfed in the so-called fledgling democracies era of the 1990s that ushered in multi-party politics. Since then, voters have had the choice of picking those who seek elective office on a ballot paper that carries not just the ruling party candidate, or even worse, one candidate pitted against a symbol. Yet, building a viable democracy entails creating the institutional and legal framework for a level playing ground for all political parties and promoting an enlightened electorate that is conscious of its civic responsibility. Furthermore, it is the strength of the ballot and the transparency of the electoral process that determine the level of patriotism in a democracy. Unfortunately, democracy cannot survive where history repeats itself. There remains a chronic trust deficit in the electoral process, as well as in the delivery and impartiality of the election umpire. Some people have described elections, rightly or wrongly, as the axis of evil in Cameroon's democracy. But collective effort must be made to build the country's democracy according to the golden rule: do unto others what you would want them do unto you. That's why when the election management body ELECAM engages other stakeholders in the electoral process as it did during the week, we can only hope it is not a script for a movie. In today's edition of the program, we look at the need to ensure peaceful, transparent, and credible elections in Cameroon, and also the National Commission for the Promotion of Bilingualism and Multiculturalism taking the crusade for bilingualism and social cohesion abroad. I am Sam Bukuba with the CC Crew. Kelly Urban is here to bring us up to speed with the major news stories of the day and of the week. Hi, Kelly.
Hello, Sam. The key to the new National Assembly complex has been officially handed over to Cameroon by the chairperson of the National People's Congress of China, His Excellency Zhang Qingwei, on behalf of the President of the People's Republic of China, Xi Jinping. The inauguration of the edifice this Saturday was chaired by the Right Honorable Kavayege Jibril, Speaker of the National Assembly, who represented President Paul Biya at the ceremony. In the meantime, the government's economic, financial, social and cultural program is to be presented this Sunday afternoon by the Prime Minister Head of Government, Chief Dr. Joseph Diongute, during the plenary sitting of the National Assembly. The plenary sitting is scheduled to begin at 2:30 p.m. The Gondo Festival, an iconic cultural event of the Sawa people in the littoral region of Cameroon, takes place today in Douala. Celebrated annually along the Wuri River, the festival honors the water spirits and fosters unity among the Sawa ethnic groups. In sports, The second edition of the Chantaubia National Mountain Bike Competition ends this Sunday in Bagofit Sun City, East Region, with cyclists from the prestige Master 1 and 2 categories to battle for prizes on the rough track. After day one of the competition, participants were programmed to take part in a cultural evening and an educational discussion this Saturday. The third edition of the International Day of Persons with Disabilities will be commemorated this Tuesday, December the 3rd, 2024. Commemorative activities in Cameroon have been revolving around the theme of the event as the Director of Social Protection of Persons with Disabilities and the Elderly, Mrs. Dengo Abongo-Ndifor-Morin, now details.
This year we are celebrating under the theme Amplifying the Leadership of Persons with Disabilities for an Inclusive and Sustainable Future. We just wish that people should understand that persons with disabilities also have a lot of potential. They can be good leaders if given the opportunity. So we are underscoring the fact that they too should be part of the process of development in our country. People should not shy from giving them posts of leadership because they can really be good leaders. We launched the activities on the 25th of November with the Minister of Social Affairs accompanied by some other members of government to visit some government structures to evaluate how accessible these structures are for persons with disabilities. They should have an environment which is accessible, meaning everywhere there are ramps, there are accessible toilets, even where they can sit with their wheelchair without having any obstacles or obstructions.
In news of the week, the President of the Republic, Paul Biya, at the Unity Palace received letters of accreditation from some heads of diplomatic missions to Cameroon. The heads of the diplomatic mission are from the Russian Federation, Israel, the Kingdom of Belgium, India, and the Confederation of Switzerland. The ambassadors designate of Cote d'Ivoire, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and the High Commissioner of Gabon also presented their letters to President Paul Biya. The President of the Republic, Paul Biya, also received in audience a special envoy from the Republic of Djibouti, Mohamed Abdoukade Moussa, Minister of Environment and Sustainable Development, was bearer of a special message from the Djiboutian President to seek Cameroon's support for the post of President of the African Union Commission. The President of the Republic also signed a couple of decrees appointing some senior officials in some hospitals, the Ministry of Youth Affairs and Civic Education, as well as in some state universities. Following the decrees, Mr. Gentil Vincent de Paul was appointed Director General of the Yaoundé University Teaching Hospital. Mr. Che Kinsley So was appointed Director General of the Gynecological Obstetric and Pediatric Hospital, while Mr. Isumba Emmanuel was appointed Director General of the Yaoundé General Hospital. On his part, Mr. Akede Metuge Eric was appointed Inspector General of Services in the Ministry of Youth Affairs and Civic Education. In more news of the week, the Prime Minister Chief Dr. Joseph Dionguti granted a series of audiences, including the new British High Commissioner Matthew David Woods, who made clear his desire to push for stronger trade and economic links between his country and Cameroon. The two officials made a review of Cameroon-UK relations and identified possible areas of expansion. In another audience, Prime Minister Joseph Dionguti and the visiting chairperson of the Standing Committee of the National People's Congress of China discussed the state of bilateral relations between China and Cameroon. During a working session between delegations of the two countries, the numerous fruits of cooperation between Cameroon and China in the domains of roads, energy, and agriculture were hailed as perfect examples of a win-win partnership. Still in news of the week, a special security evaluation meeting prior to the upcoming end of year and new year festivities in the country took place in Yaoundé. The meeting, instructed by the head of state and commander-in-chief of the armed forces, was opened by the minister delegate at the presidency in charge of defense, Joseph Betia Somo, who assured that security will be strengthened across the country. moves towards aligning land governance with sustainable development goals were at the center of discussions during the 6th edition of the Land Tenure Week in Cameroon that took place in Yaoundé. Speaking during the opening ceremony, the Minister of State Property, Service and Land Tenure, Henri Eyebe Aissi, highlighted the role of land governance in promoting sustainable development, equitable access to resources and poverty reduction. A new therapy to suppress the HIV virus by 90% in 3 months is in Cameroon. This was announced during a conference that took place at the Chantal Biya Reference Center, attended by members of the Scientific Council. Doctors say that the new therapy is in use in Europe and the USA and can lead to HIV suppression below previous estimates. And the Minister of Women's Empowerment and the Family this week launched the 16 Days of Activism to fight violence against women and girls. Speaking during the launch, Professor Marie-Thérèse Abinondwa called for an end to all forms of violence meted on women and girls and for the respect of their rights. Back to you, Sam.
Thanks, Kelly. Joyce Cleve Tata has the press review.
We begin with the 15th edition of the Fashion and Design Careers Forum in Yaoundé, a moment designers use to showcase their prowess. Cameroon Tribune reports that the First Lady Chantal Biya uses such events to promote budding talent in the fashion design. Reports from the National Observatory on Climate Change also caught the attention of the paper, notably the dry season that promises to be harsh. Experts advise that people should drink enough water to better manage the risk of dehydration. The bi-weekly Cameroon Insider headlines on violence against women as an issue of concern. The paper reveals that this year's global campaign comes at a time when more than 100 Cameroonian women and girls have been killed by their spouses or relatives since 2023. This as the world is organizing the 16 Days of Activism Against Gender-Based Violence, which will culminate with the celebration of the International Human Rights Day on December 10. Meanwhile, the post-weekender zooms on statistics given by EU delegation head on violence against women, saying a woman is killed every 10 minutes. Municipal update announces that Bilingualism Commission boss Peter Mafani Musonge has dispatched teams to Canada, China, Saudi Arabia and Cote d'Ivoire to evaluate bilingualism practice. The Horizon in the same light says the delegation is expected to gather proposals from the diplomatic staff on ways and means of better promoting the two official languages within Cameroon's diplomatic missions. The Voice newspaper adds that the team will also emphasize the dangers of hate speech and xenophobia, encouraging Cameroonians living abroad to foster harmony and coexistence. The Guardian Post announces special funding of 500 startups nationwide by Afriland First Bank that sealed a deal with Youth Affairs Ministry to bankroll young entrepreneurs. Le Messager focuses on the special prize given to the bank for her constant engagement in satisfying her clients. Good news again for young people as the Horizon headlines, SBEC and the National Employment Fund sign MOU to train 570 youths in the center region. Onto this alarming story by the Guardian Post, which says over 1,000 school children have been tested HIV positive. The statistics from the National AIDS Control Committee reveal that a majority of the affected children are below the age of 14. On a sad note, Cameroon mourns the death of leadership coach Ngo Tayong. According to Cameroon Insider, Uncle P, as he was fondly called by his younger colleagues, died at the Yaoundé General Hospital late Tuesday evening while undergoing treatment for cardiac problems. The Guardian Post says news of the death of the ace communication strategist and retired multimedia journalist has left many in shock, consternation and disbelief. May his gentle soul rest in peace. That was our package on what the papers contained this week.
Thanks, Joyce. The voice clip is up next.
The different political parties have to imitate the example of Elecam by opening the door to persons with disability, allowing them to participate in their activities. activity, because we think that political party has not yet really understood that person with disability can contribute, can even influence the result of an election.
We pray that as elections are coming, government should take necessary measures to bring back peace so that the various voters across the 34 subdivisions and 7 divisions in the Northwest region can effectively participate. Since the advent of the crisis, people have actually shunned away from elections because we're experiencing an atmosphere that is full of fear, threatening, lack of trust.
This wouldn't be the first time that elections are going to take place in the conflict-hit northwest and southwest regions of this country. In 2018 to 2020, we held elections successfully despite the conflict. So we've put into place functional mechanisms. We work closely with the administration, with the forces of law and order, and we exploit the green zones and make sure we agree with the political parties how to go ahead.
Already have so many doubts about our electoral system. Many of us really don't trust the system, so I think that's the first concern we have. If you realize, a lot of people have even decided not to register for the elections because they think, what's the point of going through the stress of registering and casting my vote when my vote really wouldn't reflect the decision of the people?
As Cameroonians are getting excited about what will happen in 2025 and beyond, they should also understand that it's important to go and vote, but it's important also to exchange ideas on who you want to vote for and why you want to vote for, and that shouldn't be done in a hostile environment. You can share ideas, you can differ with people in ideas, but it shouldn't deteriorate into violence.
I think that Elekem has done a formidable job putting together a complete electoral package, and I think they need to be commended for that. Now, what needs to be done is that we need to have a clear understanding of the different roles and responsibilities of all the stakeholders. First of all, what is Elekem responsible for? What are the political parties responsible for? What are the voters themselves responsible for? We need to understand our roles and responsibilities and ensure that we do that to the fullest to ensure that we have clean, fair, transparent, and inclusive elections.
Today's CC Voice clip.
Cameroon Calling. Cameroon Calling, we give you both sides of the story.
The groundwork for credible, peaceful, and transparent elections in Cameroon is being laid by the country's election management body, Elekem. Within the framework of the second consultation platform between the election management body and the other stakeholders in the electoral process that was held last Tuesday in Yaoundé, dialogue was highlighted as a pillar of democratic governance. In the following comment, Kikishi Lawrence says the initiative to ensure that elections are peaceful is praiseworthy.
Cameroon has had an exciting history of elections ever since the multi-choice system was brought back in 1988, beginning with the ranks of the young CPDM party, where voters had to choose from two lists of candidates for parliament. In June 1990, when the president called for the one-party National Assembly to prepare for multi-party elections, many Cameroonians who had regrets of losing the past one-party system could not sit back. They went on the streets in various towns, marching against multi-partism. But Paul Biya was bent on taking his promise to the end. Unfortunately, the October 1992 presidential election came with bitterness, leading to a crisis like no other that the country had known before. The reason was the disputed result of the election, in which the incumbent president, Paul Biya, won by a slight margin over the main opposition SDF candidate, Ni John Frundi. that peace returned after the crisis is good. But ensuing elections have come with their own share of tension that hardly parallels the 1992 experience. As we wait for another election year in 2025, it is time to ensure that the errors that could lead to misunderstandings are cleared. Cameroon has moved from the all-government organized elections with the Ministry of Territorial Administration through the O'Neill trial, and today we are with the independent election body set up by the government. The registration of voters has improved with the computerized system, and the Elecam teams are making great efforts to have all Cameroonians of voting age registered. But the voter apathy noticed in the past elections and the reluctance of many Cameroonians to go for their voters' cards after getting registered are signs that a lot still needs to be done. The political culture is still dampened by the poverty problem, as the Bayam Selam would prefer to spend her day on the farm to get fresh vegetables for her customers than to go and vote. The trouble of tribalism is a big handicap in making good choices, meaning that stakeholders in the political field have to enhance education such that voters adhere to political parties and vote more for programs than for individuals, such that voters would learn and master the laws on elections. That way, they can come up with informed complaints if such were to occur, such that voters would accept election results when they are published. Some complaints are still being raised thus far by political parties and civil society organizations, among them the need to review the electoral code and to introduce the single ballot paper. While waiting, Cameroon needs elections that are peaceful, credible and transparent, such that after the elections, citizens will give their full potential for its development.
Kikishi Lawrence. The second edition of the National Consultation Platform brought together civil society actors, political party leaders, media practitioners, representatives of advocacy groups to discuss ways to combat misinformation, improve voter education, and ensure greater inclusion of marginalized groups. CC's Rita Yosembam got two of the participants to size up the platform.
Elections in Cameroon, though hailed as a cornerstone of democracy, have often been overshadowed by challenges that undermine their credibility and inclusivity. Issues such as low voter participation, disinformation, hate speech, and election-related violence remain persistent hurdles. Compounding these are limited representation of women, youths, persons with disabilities and indigenous communities in the political arena, further deepening the cracks in the system. Participants at the second edition of the National Consultation Platform included the president of an association that caters for the welfare of visually impaired young people known as Sijak Kokobertin, who says their contributions focused on improving communication strategies to make the electoral process more inclusive.
I will first of all like to appreciate what Elecam has been doing by taking in consideration the contribution of persons with disabilities. Our contribution was at the level of communication. Communication should really consider persons with disabilities according to different types of disabilities. For instance, when Elecam produces flyers and other form of communication, it is good that it can be accessible to persons with visual impairment. When the communication is at the level of television, it is good that they should be translated in sign language so that our friends who are deaf and dumb can get access to the information. So the communication is very important, and the person with disability should be considered according to the type of disabilities. Another thing is that the different polling station should be accessible for different type of disabilities too. That is, when a person with visual impairment get there, he should get information. When a deaf and dumb get to the polling station, he should be well informed. And this must be accessible for those who are physical challenged. For example, if there is many steps, if the polling station it at the level of fourth floor, it can be difficult for some of us to get to that level. We know Elecam has been doing that, but we just want to see how this can be improved.
Adding her voice, Ya Gladys Viban, a civil society representative, outlined their efforts, which addressed critical issues affecting elections before, during, and after the polls.
We all know that for elections to be credible, a couple of things need to happen. First of all, the voter registration has to be on the up and up. Secondly, the voter turnout, that is on the day of the election itself, and then the counting of the ballots and the proclamation of the results. I think some of the key problems actually that were raised, the publication, first of all, of all the polling stations, but also a database of all people who have been registered on electoral lists so that we can have some kind of checklist for people to go to and to see whether they are duly registered or not. Also, cleaning up of the electoral registers to ensure that those people who are transited into the world beyond do not still exist on the list. And that when this is done, to ensure that those who should not be on the registers are actually mentioned or tabulated and published so that people can see the progress that has been made in that direction. I think that was also one of the key areas. Now, they also asked us to look at what areas we think we can have strategic deliverables that for training, for example, or things that need to happen for these next elections to be credible.
Coco Berting has also emphasized the importance of recognizing the impact of persons with disabilities on the electoral process, calling for greater awareness and inclusion.
We think that the different political parties have to imitate the example of ELECAM by opening the door to persons with disability, allowing them to participate in their activity. Because we think that political party has not yet really understood that persons with disability can contribute, can even influence the result of an election. During this workshop, we try to sensitize the political party by telling them that persons with disabilities in our country, there are about 3 million of them, and they can make a difference. They can also be elected. We are also coming to be elected. We have some few of them who are now in some council in our country, but we think that this can really improve.
Key resolutions from the platform included creating an early alert mechanism to combat disinformation, fake news and hate speech, factors often blamed for inciting violence during elections. And for her part, Ya Gladys Vibine highlights the importance of dialogue as the best way to address challenges and move the electoral process forward.
This consultation, I think, was to consolidate what I would like to call an electoral ecosystem. And for an ecosystem to survive and to thrive, we must have a shared vision, and that vision should give us direction as to where we're going. Now, the shared vision is that we would like to have a free, fair, transparent, and inclusive elections in Cameroon, and all of us are looking in that direction. I think that dialogue is always the best way to move forward in the right direction. So I think that bringing stakeholders together to dialogue with ELECAM on issues that concern the electoral processes in Cameroon is definitely not only a very critical one, but also very timely as we're looking ahead at the elections of 2025.
Both Coco Berton and Ya Gladys Viban have applauded the initiative, emphasizing its importance to drive meaningful change. They have equally pointed out areas that still need improvement to ensure inclusivity and credibility.
I think that by gathering people coming from different places, coming from different activities, coming from different level in our society, we think putting them together to discuss this issue can really make election in our country peaceful. The discussion was very interesting. We couldn't agree on everything because, you know, each of us has his own point of view. But in general, the way that the discussion was carried on made us think that the election will really be a peaceful one in our country in 2025.
I think that ELECAM has done a formidable job putting together a complete electoral package, and I think they need to be commended for that. Now, what needs to be done is that we need to have a clear understanding of the different roles and responsibilities of all the stakeholders. First of all, what is ELECAM responsible for? What are the political parties responsible for? What are the voters themselves responsible for? We need to understand our roles and responsibilities and ensure that we do that to the fullest to ensure that we have clean, fair, transparent, and inclusive elections. Secondly, the respect for human rights and the respect for women's rights and the respect for young people's engagement. We were talking about gender-based violence and things that occur that should not occur during elections, for example. We're talking about inclusivity, having the disabled included. But most importantly, and I think critically, is to look very closely at how the elections will take place in the troubled areas, the Northwest and the Southwest regions, and in the northern regions as well, to ensure that the elections actually do hold there. So this is an area that needs more attention. And I think it came out clear that we need training for polling station handlers. We need training for people who will go out there to ensure that there is peace and security. We need training for those who are involved in the counting of the ballots and all of that. So there's a lot of things that still need to be done. But I think that will just be like dotting the I's and cutting the T's, because to my understanding, the bulk of the work has been done. But we need to ensure, most importantly, that there is a trust system, because I think that is what is lacking in the electoral ecosystem.
The second edition of the National Consultation Platform may not have mended all the cracks, but it has laid a solid foundation for a more inclusive and credible electoral process in Cameroon. And as the country inches closer to the 2025 presidential election, the success of these efforts will depend on the commitment of all actors to foster dialogue, transparency, and peace.
Rita Yosembam. The media will have a crucial role to play in ensuring that the highly awaited elections are peaceful. That explains why among the prominent participants in the second consultation platform between ELECAM and the other stakeholders in the electoral process in Cameroon was the president of the National Communication Council, Mr. Joe Chabonken Kalabubse.
You know, like I do, that the media is a very important partner in the entire process. And so we were there to get the feeling of projections into next year's election. And like the president of ELECAM said, peaceful and democratic, fair elections for next year. That's the objective. And the press, as you know, is a key actor in the electoral process because they are the ones that educate citizens on the stakes and obligations and get citizens make informed choices on the voting day, on who is who in the field. And so we feel that as a key stakeholder, we had to be in that meeting so as to not only mark our presence, but also to share in the obligations that await us in 2025 and even beyond.
You have just indicated that media houses in Cameroon are expected to play a major role in ensuring that the 2025 and 2026 elections are peaceful. How is the National Communication Council gearing up to play its role as the gendarme of the sector?
Calling us a gendarme of the sector, well, you might have the right to that opinion, but I think that as a key stakeholder in the communication sector and the one who oversees content control in the press, we intend to begin the year with a number of workshops and seminars and visits to newsrooms and organize come together for community radios that play a key role in educating the public on the stakes in the elections. We also intend to organize workshops for bloggers and cyber journalists. We intend to organize seminars for key stakeholders, trying to help them understand the dangers of hate speech and misinformation and disinformation during electoral periods. And also that it is important that even when you differ with somebody in opinion, it's not a war. After all, you are just there to win the support of the electorate so that they vote you into power. And if they vote you into power, you come with your program and with the intention of governing the country or governing your council or governing whatever. So that's what we intend to do, and even to go beyond, and we will run slots in many media organs to be able to educate the public on the stakes involved in the elections.
You have talked about the social media, and the job of the National Communication Council has more or less been rendered complex and very difficult by the social media, where the electoral code risk being grossly violated. You may have cases of campaigning beyond the time limit, publication of results and so on. And also individuals and interest groups may easily incite violence. How ready is the council to crack that hard nut?
I think that it's a very, very complex issue, as you said. It's like carrying water in a basket. I think that the council is aware of the challenges ahead. We have drawn the attention of the concerned parties to the limits that the council has. And so we are working in synergy with other stakeholders like ANTIC and ART to be able to see what we can do. But the most important thing is to try to educate the public on their rights and obligations. Even when they go to the social media, they should be selective and don't just get everything that is on the social media like truth. We hope that as Cameroonians are getting excited about what will happen in 2025 and beyond, they should also understand that it's important to go and vote, but it's important also to exchange ideas on who you want to vote for and why you want to vote for. And that shouldn't be done in a hostile environment. You can share ideas, you can differ with people in ideas, but it shouldn't deteriorate into violence. And one thing to me is extremely important, and that is the fact that you can differ in opinion, but that shouldn't make you people enemies. Because you have your own way of looking at issues, and others have their own ways of looking at issues. But what is important is that when you want to make a choice, you make an informed choice. And that informed choice is either tied to the rules that govern the game or the issues that have been put on the table and what the law says and what the law prohibits. And when you're sharing ideas and having people to comply with what you think is right, know that others also have different opinions. When you put something on the table, understand that it is important that you listen to others and don't think that what you're saying is gospel truth. Opinions might differ, but that shouldn't push people into becoming enemies in our community. The second option is to try to see how we can get bloggers and cyber journalists and also fact checkers come on board during that period so that they can respond spontaneously to issues that are raised concerning the elections. And we also intend to educate the other stakeholders on the need to provide adequate information and in time so that those who are consuming products on the social media can have alternative sources to be able to verify and clarify themselves on issues that have been raised. So it's a complex issue, but we intend to face the challenge with the means at our disposal. We must be able to admit at this point that Cameroon, like many other African countries, have not yet carried out legislation to try to control what comes on the social media. But it is also important to note that these platforms that provide the superhighway for information to circulate on the social media are not based in Cameroon and are not governed by Cameroonian laws. So we try as much as possible to talk to them, to see with us from our own perspective, and see that even when we have elections and the stakes are as high as what we have next year, they should be able to help us to get those who come on their platforms conform to certain professional exigencies. And the issue has been made more complex because every citizen has a right now to publish just because he or she has a smartphone. And so they have now become citizen journalists, but without knowing the risk of what they are putting on air for people to consume. So that's where education comes in. And we think that we will try as much as we can to be able to educate the public, to be able to discriminate information that they get on the social media when time comes.
You talked about means a while ago. If you are called upon to list all what it will take for the National Communication Council to effectively play its role, what will you be saying, Mr. President?
The first thing is the laws that govern the sector. Right now, we are not competent enough to be able to get on the social media and act. Secondly, we need financial means. We want to, at this level, express our gratitude to government and the President of the Republic for providing the means for us to acquire a complex and up-to-date machine that will help us to deploy and try to see how we can monitor what goes on. He has provided means we will be able to get mobile kits as well that can be deployed, independent of what we have at base. And that will enable us to be able to track what is going on around the country. And also, we need financial means, and we hope that government will be able to make available the financial means when time comes for us to organize these workshops with the different stakeholders in our regions. You know, I did make mention of the fact that community radios are a key player. And if you go to most of our regions, these community radios are there to educate the public. But during election periods, many of the community radios are transformed into instruments for campaign and denigration. Many of the broadcasters in these community radios have not had any initial training on journalism. So they are used as tools to propagate information and sometimes denigrate candidates or people who are competitors in the electoral period. So they need some first-hand knowledge in broadcasting and also to be able to educate themselves on what they need to do and need to know when they are passing out information.
Mr. George Ebonken, when you look at the task ahead, how worried are you?
It's extremely complex, but not that worrisome, because we know that the elections will be fought next year on the social media, and that the social media will play a key role in sharing information and helping people make choices. And that's why we think that government should try as much as it can to be able to craft rules and provide up-to-date machines to the different stakeholders that are involved in the electoral process. And I think that it is just something that we have to bring on board all stakeholders, civil society organizations, journalists of various kinds, and try as much as we can to educate them to play the role that they are supposed to play. And that's part of the responsibility of the National Communication Council. I think that at this level, we are serene and looking forward to doing just what the law permits us to do. And we hope that that will help in educating the public and helping the press also to play the role that they are supposed to play in a democratic setup.
Judging from the recommendations that were adopted during the second consultation platform between ELECAM and the other stakeholders in the electoral process, how hopeful are you that the next elections in Cameroon are going to be credible, peaceful, and transparent?
I think that it is the choice of the people, particularly the actors, to either make it peaceful or otherwise. But judging from the participation at the second forum which you talked about and the stakes involved, I think that Cameroonians are mature enough to be able to understand that what is at stake is not only getting to power, but getting to power to govern a peaceful country. And that even when they are sharing information or want the public to buy their ideas and vote them into power, they should understand that they have that responsibility of inheriting a peaceful community so that the programs that they have for Cameroonians will be able to sail through and they will be able to implement these programs in the various offices which they are seeking in the country. And so it is not a responsibility of a ELECAM alone. It's not a responsibility of the Human Rights Commission or the National Communication Council. It is the responsibility of all Cameroonians, particularly those who are seeking public office, to ensure that they conduct themselves in such a way that help the Cameroonian people to know that these are mature people with the intention of governing a peaceful country.
Just to indicate that you are on the line to Abidjan in Côte d'Ivoire. Mr. President, what took you to Abidjan in Côte d'Ivoire? You left Cameroon immediately after participating in the second consultation platform between ELECAM and the other stakeholders in the electoral process.
You're right. We are here to discuss the implications of the usage of artificial intelligence in content control. It's a very complex situation. We have not gotten out of ordinary social media issues, but we are gradually moving into artificial intelligence, which will further complicate issues for the ordinary citizen or the ordinary Cameroonian. And so we are brainstorming as a continent, and with that, we can have a stronger voice in pleading and trying to get platform providers who are using this artificial intelligence or making it available to the larger public to see with us from our own perspective. So that's why we are here in the Ivory Coast.
The president of the National Communication Council, Mr. Joe Chebonken Kalabupse, in that telephone chat with George Kelong. Among the key issues that are expected to be addressed with a view to ensuring an inclusive electoral process in Cameroon is the disturbing situation in some conflict-hit regions. Mercy Kusi compiled the expectations of some inhabitants of the Northwest region in the following report.
Cameroonians in the Northwest have been pondering a lot these past days regarding the elections period that is fast approaching. Voter apathy has risen tremendously in the region in recent years, and many are wondering if this would be sorted out soon enough.
We pray that as elections are coming, government should take necessary measures to bring back peace so that the various voters across the 34 subdivisions and 7 divisions in the Northwest region can effectively participate. Since the advent of the crisis, people have actually shunned away from elections because we're experiencing an atmosphere that is full of fear, threatening, lack of trust. We hope that this 2025 will be something else, the restoration of peace and security in the region, so that the rightful candidates will be chosen, so that voters can effectively exercise their inalienable rights as citizens of this nation.
It's also necessary for people everywhere to vote. You know, we have Cameroonians in areas that are extremely difficult, especially in the Northwest and Southwest regions, so it becomes very difficult for them to vote at a time like this. So it is important for all the security measures to be put in place to ensure that the voting takes place hitch-free and that the voting that will be done should reflect the genuine intention of Cameroonians everywhere.
This man says he expects so much from Elections Cameroon, as the outcome of the various processes will greatly depend on how well they do their job.
It is imperative for the Elecam body to be free and fair so that they can organize an election that will reflect, you know, the intentions of Cameroonians. It is imperative for the ground to be level enough.
Voter registration has curved upwards with over 600,000 potential voters enrolled in the Northwest. Northwest Regional Delegate of Elections Cameroon, Bowo Elvis, identifies some shortcomings that hinder some citizens in the region from participating in the exercise.
Within the revision period of 2024, we observe that the absence of functional police identification posts in some council areas acted as an impediment to the registration exercise. We realize that on an average, a council area with a police identification post registered approximately 1,500, while those without identification post registered in the neighborhood of 350 persons. It has a bearing on voters' registration because those who are coming of age, they need their ID cards to be able to be enrolled in the electoral register. So the reopening of those identification units, as the security situation gets improved, will go a long way to improve voters' registration. I want to use this opportunity to call on political stakeholders, especially the political parties, the administration, and the mayors, to ensure that later the 10th of December, the forward names of their representative into the joint commission charged with the revision of electoral registers to their respective council branches for onward transmission to the divisional branches, so that later 15 days to the end of the year, when the decision establishing the composition of the joint commission is being established, they will have their members represented in these commissions. For greater transparency, for greater credibility, it's important that these political stakeholders submit names of their representatives on time.
Many have observed that the last general elections were not competitive enough in the Northwest, and they are hoping that this time around, the contending parties put up a fierce fight, deserving of every vote that will be cast in the ballots.
Mercy Kusi in Bamenda. In the Southwest region, similar worries are being expressed, as you tell us, Regina Ngale Ndoko.
In this part of the country, discussions about the upcoming elections are often confined to hushed tones. Many residents are reluctant to voice their opinions publicly, citing fear of the unknown. As a community that has already experienced instability, there is an undeniable undercurrent of concern about the nation's future in the coming year.
We all know the tension that exists during the election period in the Northwest and the Southwest. Even leaving your house for whatever other reasons, you may be suspected of going to cast the vote and your life is already at risk. So a lot of people don't even want to risk it. And the people who vote, especially those in remote areas, they'll probably need to leave their homes a couple of days before so that you're not seen when you're going to cast your vote.
They cannot go out there to choose their leaders, which is a responsibility. I'm worried because I was hoping that after 2018-2025, we must have resolved this crisis.
Where you go there and you cast your vote in peace and you come back home and you don't know if you're going to be abducted the next day or that same day.
If there's no peace, I think it's very difficult for us to have an inclusive electoral process.
Beyond the prevailing fear, some remain convinced that their vote will not make a difference, while others have growing concerns about the fairness of the electoral process.
Already have so many doubts about our electoral system. Many of us really don't trust the system, so I think that's the first concern we have. If you realize, a lot of people have even decided not to register for the elections because they think, what's the point of going through the stress of registering and casting my vote when my vote really wouldn't reflect the decision of the people?
No matter how patriotic we are, if the institution in place are not transparent in their activities, then we cannot expect a different result.
Despite these uncertainties, some remain optimistic, believing that the resilience of the population alongside the effort of the defense and security forces will prevail as citizens fulfill their civic duties.
Sabuatakan President Cameroon National Council of Southwest. Some of us are seriously preparing and sensitizing the youth of the Southwest region about the upcoming election. Confidence has been built over time by the resilience of the Cameroon Army, and particularly the B. I don't think that there's any situation that can arise within the Southwest region that cannot be put to control by the B. So I believe the security is assured. It's a period where there are conflicting ideas. That alone causes a lot of panic setting communities, but these are fever which are always cured by paracetamol. So it's not going to be a problem. We are very ready and prepared for these upcoming elections.
I'm Dr. Ongale Manya David, a youth leader. I'm particularly actively involved in encouraging young Cameroonians to get themselves registered on electoral lists. The enthusiasm has been there, and I'm hoping that 2025, we can have many more people go out on that day to vote. We can only expect that things get better or ameliorated before 2025.
For the people of the Southwest region, much work lies ahead for Elections Cameroon and political parties to rebuild public confidence in the electoral process. Nonetheless, there is a shared belief that the population must take an active role in shaping the future they desire by participating in the elections.
If the procedure or the processes are explained and communicated and people feel engaged, they would gain trust in the electoral process and would believe in its transparency. And I also think that more communication, effective communication, should be done, particularly for people in these restive regions.
The elections actually reflect the voice of the people, and whoever takes the helm of things should think of the people and all the risks that they take in order to put them in offices.
We all have to understand that election is the best way for any political transition. And so we have to understand and trust the process and be involved in the process, because when we are looking at some of the indicators of credible election is the aspect of inclusivity, because as citizens, we have our own part to play within the electoral process itself. So I expect that this time around, Cameroonians are going to embrace peace and to understand that for us to have any credible elections, we need peace so that individuals and electors can express themselves freely.
Gang Prime Movement Together, Open Maninguba Division, I expect that the state should take all necessary measures to make sure that all the polling stations within the region are open and that the citizens who are going to participate in voting, their desired candidates, should be protected and make sure that they take this civic responsibility seriously. And also, the state should give equal opportunity to the candidates to make sure that their campaigns are carried on under tight security, be you of what political background, the state should be able to accompany the candidates to the field and make sure that they present their vision of the next Cameroon to the citizens to effectively vote. I also expect that the authorities that are in charge of organizing these elections should be very transparent in, you know, compiling results and making sure that the right results are transmitted to the authorities that are in charge of proclaiming the results. I think when all these measures are put in place, the results that will be published should be accepted by the citizen.
Many people in the Southwest region hope that political parties will effectively leverage social media platforms to communicate the agenda, ensuring that even those in remote areas can access critical information. This, they believe, will empower citizens to make informed decisions when the time comes to cast their votes.
Regina Ngalendoko in Buea. On Cameroon Calling, to talk about the stakes of ensuring peaceful, transparent and credible elections in Cameroon is a member of the Electoral Board of ELECAM, Honorable Nga Gaspar Fairinyoi. In the following interview, I started by asking him what justified the holding of the second consultation platform between the election management body and other stakeholders in the electoral process.
I sincerely think that any credible democracy calls for a dynamic forum devoted to free and fruitful exchanges between stakeholders who must as well be informed, educated, and be accomplished in convincing citizens of their need to exercise their right to vote or to be elected without any form of manipulation, intimidation, or violence. In compliance with the provisions of Section 11, Sub 2 of the Electoral Code, the Electoral Board is expected to hold consultations with the administration, the judiciary, political parties, the civil society, for the purpose of ensuring free, fair, and transparent and credible polls. The general objective of the second edition was to raise awareness and build the capacities of stakeholders of the electoral process on permanent, peaceful electoral dialogue with a view to achieve credible, peaceful, and transparent elections come 2025-2026.
What would you say was the outcome of the second consultation platform that ELECAM held with other stakeholders in the electoral process?
After the second consultation platform, the participants came out with some important recommendations, amongst which were the inclusion of socially vulnerable groups like women, the handicapped. They also stressed the importance of participation of the stakeholders, especially the main stakeholder, the political parties, because we've noticed in the past that in most cases, the political parties are not really active on the field. Like in the mixed commissions for the revision exercise, most of them don't send their representatives. And when they're absent, it gives room for suspicion. So we always plead that they should be there, because the elections Cameroon, we make sure that we encourage this participatory approach.
You mentioned political parties, and it's common knowledge that among them, some are more influential than others. Were all the heavyweights within the ranks of political parties in attendance?
During the second consultation forum, Elections Cameroon extended invitations to all the political parties. I don't know what you mean by the heavyweight and the lightweight, but all is that we invited all the active political parties. And it's also worth noting here that before the consultation forum, a coalition of political parties was received by the president of Elections Cameroon, Director General of Elections, and they had very fruitful exchanges. So most political parties were present and actively took part.
When we talk about the parties that are more influential, we have in mind the hardcore opposition political parties, and the fear is that if they are not present, there may be little room for peaceful elections.
No, whenever ELECAM invites them, they are always present. And during the second consultation forum, we noticed the presence of the CDU, represented by Madame Tomaine Ndamjoya. There was ANDP and other political parties. So we should say that it was a very successful event.
Could you outline what were the worries that generated a lot of heat and how does ELECAM intend to handle them?
I think the main worries that the political parties had concerned, first of all, the registration exercise. Because during the last registration exercise, there were some technical hitches on the field whereby the fingerprints of some electors could not appear. And fortunately, as I earlier said, Elections Cameroon had received the coalition of political parties and a solution was given. So on Tuesday, an announcement was given by the Director General of Elections, who is in charge of the operational arm of Elections Cameroon, and all the political parties left satisfied.
What if someone tells you that all the issues that came on the review are related to electoral reforms for which the stakeholders have clamored over the years and that you don't need a consultation platform to repeat the same songs?
Yeah, actually we don't need a consultation platform to talk about electoral reforms. We always remind the stakeholder that Elections Cameroon is not against electoral reforms. Electoral reform is the work of the legislator. If the legislator decides to change electoral rules, Elections Cameroon will only apply the laws the way they are and not the way they ought to be.
So in this case, you're passing the buck onto the members of the National Assembly?
Obviously.
May we have an idea of some of those proposals?
When we meet with the stakeholders give us their worries. And at our own level, we also send their worries ahead. We send them to the legislature, to the powers that be. Some of the worries that stakeholders often bring concern the voting age, the nature of biometrics. They want it to be full because the biometrics registration that we do now is not yet complete. So these are some of their worries. And then they always ask us, why doesn't ELECAM declare the results of the elections and so on and so forth. So once we receive their worries, we also make a note and then we send them forward to the powers that be. Because at our level, we can't change the law. We only apply the law the way it is.
The consultations placed emphasis on citizen engagement and voter inclusion. That brings up the issue of the annual revision of electoral registers that has attracted criticism from some opposition parties. Can you set the record straight here?
Yeah, the criticism that some opposition parties brought was as a result of the lapses we had on the field. Because some of our kits had some technical issues and the fingerprints, all the biological data of the applicants could not appear. But now, the Attorney General announced the news on Tuesday to all the stakeholders that when registration starts in January, we will already be in possession of the latest generation electoral kits for the revision exercise. So come next year, we are not going to have any technical hitches as far as the registration of electors is concerned.
Talking about credible and peaceful elections, what is being done to ensure that registered voters in the conflict-hit Northwest and Southwest regions effectively exercise their right to vote in the elections of 2025 and 2026?
This wouldn't be the first time that elections are going to take place in the conflict-hit Northwest and Southwest regions of this country. In 2018 to 2020, we held elections successfully despite the conflict. So we've put into place functional mechanisms. We work closely with the administration, with the forces of law and order, and we exploit the green zones and make sure we agree with the political parties how to go ahead. There are some of the strategies which I can't say them here for obvious reasons, but the fact is that we hold regular meetings with the political parties of the various areas affected, and together with the administration, the force of law and order, we map out strategies on how to organize inclusive elections despite the sociopolitical atmosphere.
You talk about 2018 and 2020 when you were in the Northwest region, but you know that there are cases where you had less than 500 people voting in some constituencies.
Yeah, the rule of Elections Cameroon is to take care of the voters that turn out in the polling station. It is not the competence of Elections Cameroon to go and encourage people to come and vote, because Elections Cameroon doesn't need the votes. The stakeholders, the political parties or the candidates who are competing are the ones who have to make the initiative to convince their electors to come and vote for them. All we do is that we put all the conditions ready and electors who come, we take care of them and they vote according to their consciences.
But you should be worried about the low turnout during an election, shouldn't you?
Yeah, it plays a bit on the credibility, but it doesn't disturb our work because we don't discourage electors from coming to vote. You see, Elections Cameroon, even during the registration exercise, instead of sitting in our offices, we have very ambulant teams. They go to the hinterlands, they go to the market squares, they go to churches to look for voters. Actually, this work is supposed to be done by political parties, but we help them and do it. On election day, we also expect the political parties who now need the votes to encourage voters to come and vote for them. I really want to seize this opportunity to appeal to the political parties, especially those active in the Northwest and the Southwest regions, to sensitize their militants to go out massively from the 1st of January when the electoral registers open and try to get as many people as possible registered. They should remember that 2025, we have presidential elections, and once electors are called to the polls, registration is going to stop. So people should make hay while the sun shines.
A potential source of trouble in most national elections is foreign interference, especially when it comes to funding. What's the issue raised by the stakeholders?
Stakeholders didn't have any need to worry about foreign intervention because for all the years the Elections Cameroon has been organizing elections, they've never sensed any foreign intervention. The funding of elections in Cameroon is done solely by the state of Cameroon. No foreign bodies are allowed to do any funding, and the Ministry of Territorial Administration gives accreditations to foreign observers to come and observe. Theirs is just to observe. There's no issue of funding or foreign interference in Elections Cameroon, or as far as elections are concerned.
Political pundits hold that if the electoral process is trustworthy, the outcome will be accepted by practically everyone, and thus no room for post-election recriminations and even violence. What do you think still has to be done to make the electoral process trustworthy?
I think since 2011, with the organization of the presidential elections by Elections Cameroon, till the second presidential elections, the senatorial, Elections Cameroon has proved its worth. We have proved to the world that we are trustworthy, that we are able to organize not only free, fair, and transparent, but credible elections as well. The only appeal we want to make here is that all the stakeholders should always try to be present. Because given the participatory approach of Elections Cameroon, the stakeholders are not only supposed to be spectators, they are witnesses. Because at the various levels of the electoral process, the stakeholders are given room to participate. We start from the mixed commissions for the registration exercise. The active political parties of each constituency participate. All the political parties are represented. The local polling commission on elections day, all the political parties are represented. The divisional supervisory commission, the regional supervisory commission, the vote counting commission, all the stakeholders are supposed to participate. But suspicion only comes when some political parties don't send representatives. In French, they said, les absents ont toujours tort. When you're absent, maybe you start imagining that something happened. But you need to be there to protect your votes and to make sure that everything is done according to the law. And the law on Elections Cameroon gives room for this clearly. So suspicion only comes when people do not participate. So the appeal here again is that all the political parties should make sure that they are represented at all the levels of the electoral process.
From what was resolved in Yaoundé last Tuesday, how do you foresee the 2025 and 2026 elections in Cameroon?
From the recommendations of the last national platform, we are very, very optimistic that we are going to organize each free and credible elections come the 2025-2026 electoral cycle.
Was this meeting of last Tuesday the very last before the next election cycle?
Of course, no. Next year, Elections Cameroon is obviously going to organize another national platform on the eve of the presidential elections so that all the actors should come on board once more so that we should also come out with a code of conduct that is going to guide everybody on how people should behave. The code of conduct is a document that all the actors sign, all the competitors sign, so that we should avoid hate speech, we should avoid violence, we should avoid unnecessary conflict during elections.
A member of the Electoral Board of Elecam, Honorable Nga Gaspar Thairinyoy.
You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right.
Placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence.
as far as possible without surrender. Be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself.
You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here, and whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should.
Delegations from the National Commission for the Promotion of Bilingualism and Multiculturalism have been deployed in some of Cameroon's diplomatic missions as part of the campaign to ensure the effective use of Cameroon's two official languages as spelled out in the Constitution of the Republic and to fight against the use of hate speech and xenophobic language. The mission that is one in a series comes at a time when many Cameroonians in the diaspora have been rising against each other, attacking state institutions and officials, and making nonsense of efforts to promote living together. In the following analysis, Moki Edwin Kinzeka argues that Cameroonians living out of home should consider this visit as an indication that the government wants to bring all citizens on board to build the nation in peace and serenity, no matter where or who they are.
Among the missions, the National Commission for the Promotion of Bilingualism and Multiculturalism assigned to itself this year is to monitor the effective practice of bilingualism in Cameroon's diplomatic representations in Ottawa, Beijing, Riyadh, and Abidjan, and monitor the implementation of the national policy on the promotion of official languages. The Commission's envoys are expected to gather proposals from embassy staff and officials on ways and means to better promote official languages within Cameroon's diplomatic missions and to a certain extent among Cameroonians. The delegation is expected to raise awareness on the dangers of hate speech and xenophobia and encourage Cameroonians, wherever they are, to fight hate speech, promote living together and cohesion, and be good ambassadors of their country in whatever they do. The importance and timeliness of this initiative is very welcoming for a few reasons. One, the Commission, under the authority of the President of the Republic, is responsible for the promotion of bilingualism and multiculturalism with a view to maintaining peace, consolidating national unity, and strengthening the people's willingness and day-to-day experience with respect to living together. Two, monitoring the implementation of constitutional provisions establishing English and French as two official languages of equal status, and especially ensuring their use in all government services, semi-public bodies, as well as state-subsidized bodies. So the Commission serves Cameroonians wherever they are and whoever they are. The initiative to meet civilians in the diaspora may be seen as long overdue, although the body is barely 7 years old. It's seen by some to be late because the ugly sins of Cameroonians disrespecting their country's laws and turning their backs against living together are so many. Social media is still flooded with videos of Cameroonians beating security to disrupt concerts of musical icons in the diaspora. Makossa diva Grace Dekka was a victim in Leicester, United Kingdom. Grace Dekka was not alone to have received threats from her own very countrymen and women. Afro Soul star Libyanka, who proudly proclaims on Facebook that she is from Bamenda and would never compromise her Cameroonian heritage, decided to postpone her North American tour because she had received death threats for promoting one of the symbols of Cameroon, its national flag. The names of Karese Fotso, Annie Anzui, Kaiser Show, Prince Afuakom, Katino, Ate Bazor, Major Ayi, and several dozen artists circulated as musicians, rival pressure groups created by Cameroonians in the diaspora had declared persona non grata in Europe. Artists are people who contribute to socio-political, economic, and cultural debates, and at the same time are instrumental in promoting living together and selling the destination called Cameroon. Some disgruntled Cameroonians in the diaspora became hostile to the government, attacking and ransacking at least 5 embassies, including diplomatic missions in Berlin and Paris. The bad examples to forget as early as possible are many, and the highest level of this barbarism was when angry Cameroonians destroyed their own country's national flag, which is one of the patriotic symbols of the republic. They also tore the effigy of the person who incarnates state institutions. They were seen singing on patriotic songs and attacking state envoys at the United Nations. At one moment, some Cameroonians in the diaspora grouped themselves under two associations called SADINA and Brigade Anti-SADINA, or BAS. BAS has as modus operandi disrupting activities organized by people they don't like and state institutions. Expressing one's opinions is democratically correct, but seeking support by appealing to the desires and prejudices of ordinary people rather than using rational arguments looks more like an empty populist demagogy to be corrected. Protests are acceptable, but attacks on individuals' liberties and freedoms, as well as institutions, as has been the case, needs corrective measures. Add to these complaints the fact that many embassy staff neither speak Cameroon's two official languages nor prepare official documents in the two official languages, and you'll see the frustrations the Bilingualism Commission must handle. First, by educating Cameroonians to love their country, and secondly, by making proposals for justice to be done and seen to have been done.
Maki Edwin Kinzeka, to shed light on the assignment being carried out by some members of the National Commission for the Promotion of Bilingualism and Multiculturalism, is the Secretary General of the organization, Dr. Chi Asafo Cornelius.
What justifies the deployment of some members of the NCPBN in some of Cameroon's diplomatic missions abroad is firstly the execution of an annual program approved by the President of the Republic. As you very well know, every year the Commission elaborates an annual program of action and presents it towards it to the President of the Republic for approval. It is only after the approval of the President of the Republic that that plan of action is implemented. The general objective is, first of all, to cover all diplomatic missions since about 3 years now. Before the present mission, the Commission has covered Abuja, Pretoria, Paris, London, Washington, Brussels, Bonn, in Africa, Europe, and part of North America. I hope you are aware that diplomatic missions abroad are public entities, and that by virtue of the principle of extraterritoriality, they are part of Cameroon's territory, even though on foreign land. Beyond results expected is that as many public institutions as possible are sensitized on the obligation incumbent on them to implement the national public policy on the promotion of official languages propounded by Law No. 2019-019 of 24 December 2019 on the promotion of official languages. If we have diplomatic missions in a country, it means that we have friendly ties with that country, and the probability that our compatriots, Cameroonian citizens, reside, work, study, or travel to those countries is close to one, since in mathematics, probability spans from 0 to 1.
May we know what justified the choice of Canada, China, Saudi Arabia and Côte d'Ivoire this time?
Thank you very much. The choice was based firstly on what could be the size of the Cameroonian population in those countries. Secondly, the strategic nature of those countries in the interplay of economic, strategic and cultural strength of those countries in the world. The level of ties between those countries and our beloved country was also one of the criteria in the selection process.
May we know the specific task the various teams are expected to accomplish?
The teams are expected, one, to sensitize, two, to evaluate, and three, to caution, especially when it comes to the fight against hate speech and xenophobia, so that all of us should be aware of the dangers that we are risking if ever this coach takes the upper hand in the management of those diplomatic missions and in the management of our citizens in those countries where we have diplomatic missions.
Dr. Chi Asafo Cornelius, what do you tell those Cameroonians who may be asking the raison d'etre of taking the campaign on the promotion of Cameroon's official languages and the fight against hate speech and xenophobia to the country's diplomatic missions when the situation back home still leaves a lot to be desired?
Well, what you've just raised is not very far from a wrong assertion and a subjective judgment by people who know nothing or very little about what we are doing. You very well know that we started our outings into ministries and other state endeavors with sensitization and dissemination. Later on, we went back to most of those entities for an evaluation of the distance covered. I can assure you that in the majority of ministries, members of government led their collaborators to take the bull by the horn and move forward with the implementation of this important policy of our country, instituted by the President of the Republic, His Excellency Paul Biya, and piloted at the operational level by His Excellency Peter Mafani Musonge, former Prime Minister and President of the National Commission for the Promotion of Bilingualism and Multiculturalism. I insist that virtually all ministerial departments, public corporations, public establishments, and even private establishments have wholeheartedly embraced with a lot of enthusiasm and purpose the implementation of the national policy on the promotion of official languages in this beautiful country of ours. So saying that nothing has happened is synonymous to witch hunting, but fit. No less, no more. So my advice is that those people who make those assertions should review their data, reprocess it in the appropriate machine, and come out with a non-subjective assessment.
Are you therefore saying that hate speech and xenophobia are no longer a problem in Cameroon?
I have been teaching criminal law. I taught criminal law and criminal procedure for 10 years, but that didn't make crime and offenses to dissolve themselves. They will still exist. But so long as they exist, we will still be implementing criminal law and criminal procedure. We will still be teaching criminal law and criminal procedure. Same with the fight against hate speech and xenophobia. So long as the human being will exist, we are going to continue fighting against hate speech and xenophobia. But once in a while, we measure the distance covered and we realize that in most cases, it has dropped. Fundamentally, it has dropped.
Are the members of the NCPBM who have been deployed in Cameroon's diplomatic missions going to meet with Cameroonians who are based in those countries?
They are going to work, first of all, within the confines of the diplomatic missions. Maybe in later missions they will meet with our compatriots based in those countries. But for now, the mission is limited in scope, and the scope is the territory of the embassy. If they meet Cameroonians who come for services inside the embassy, they will interact with them. But they are not going for now to go beyond the embassy to interact with Cameroonians resident in those countries out of the territorial boundaries of the embassy. We've printed enough flyers, posters, booklets. They will be put at the disposal of those who visit the embassy. And the ambassador can later on also share to those he meets, the ambassador and the consul general in any embassy. When they meet with our compatriots abroad, they could also share and distribute the material. There have to be a relay in the dissemination process, which we have just started by visiting those diplomatic representations abroad.
A while ago, you indicated that this is the third time that the National Commission for the Promotion of Bilingualism and Multiculturalism is deploying teams in Cameroon's diplomatic missions. May we have an idea of the feedback so far?
I can assure you that the campaign abroad has yielded fruits, because we also get information from those who visit our embassies, from Cameroonians living in those countries. And, you know, when visitors are coming to a country, they want to read and know exactly what is happening in that country. So when the feedback in our embassies, especially the heads of the diplomatic missions and their staff, have wholeheartedly embraced the public policy of promotion of official language in our country and are implementing it. And I think that's a good thing for our beautiful country. So the feedback from previous missions is very positive. Firstly, the highest authority of the land to whom we report made use of our recommendations and proposals, transforming most of them into instructions to be executed by the public entities evaluated and sensitized. Secondly, public service users who visit those diplomatic missions also feed us with important information, and our conclusion is that we are making strides.
2025 is an election year in Cameroon, and Cameroonians abroad will be called upon to vote. When it's election time, there's a lot of hate speech being spread on social media platforms. Does the commission intend to do something special next year?
You and I met at the colloquium on inter-community conflicts. At the end of that colloquium, which you followed very closely, there was a proposal on special measures to be taken to fight against hate speech and xenophobia in 2025, especially as 2025 is an electoral year, a year of an important election. And the commission is going to bring its own very useful and important contribution to the fight against hate speech and xenophobia in 2025.
The Secretary General of the National Commission for the Promotion of Bilingualism and Multiculturalism, Dr. Chi Asafo Cornelius, interviewed by George Kelong. In today's CC Sports, Rene Kache looks ahead to the start of the new football season in Cameroon, saying stakeholders must give priority to the players who remain the heart and soul of the game.
It is now more than 227 days since the 2023-24 season of Cameroon's Elite One Football Championship ended. This unprecedentedly long off-season, the longest in the history of the Cameroon Professional Football League since its inception in 2011, paints a perfect picture of the chronic dysfunction and neglect plaguing the country's domestic football. The league is theoretically set to resume on December 7, with the Elite Two Championship beginning a week later. However, financial instability, mismanagement, and outright neglect have cast a shadow over the much-anticipated kickoff. At the center of this quagmire lies the Cameroon Football Federation FECAFOOT, which has repeatedly demonstrated a troubling lack of focus on domestic football. Under the leadership of Samuel Etofis, FECAFOOT seems to have invested immense resources and attention into the national team, leaving the domestic league to languish in mediocrity. While the national team garners sponsorships, global attention and infrastructural support, Elite One and Two clubs, the lifeblood of Cameroonian football, are left to fend for themselves. This glaring disparity raises the question, what has FECAFOOT done with the revenues from sponsorships and Cameroon's participation in the 2022 FIFA World Cup? The Federation's reluctance to fairly redistribute stadium revenues, sponsorship incomes, and World Cup proceeds to the club reveals a worrying lack of transparency. Despite wearing the logos of league sponsors, clubs receive meager or no financial support, with some earning as little as 11,000 francs CFA in gate revenue for an entire season. This is nothing short of an insult to the professionalism the league claims to embody. But while FECAFOOT shoulders a significant portion of the blame, the role of club presidents cannot be overlooked. Leading a football club is not merely about occupying a ceremonial position. It comes with the responsibility of ensuring the welfare of players and the smooth functioning of the club. Yet, many club presidents have failed woefully to fulfill even the most basic obligations, such as paying players' salaries. In some cases, players have gone 8 months without pay, surviving on the goodwill of their families or side hustles. The image of an Elite One player once spotted mending shoes to make a living remains etched in memory, a stark reminder of the dire circumstances faced by many of our professional footballers. In the women's elite championship, the situation is equally grim. Some players resort to hawking goods on the streets after training, while other players in the men's elite championships take up bike riding during their free time to earn a meager income. This is the harsh reality of life for our cherished Elite One footballers today, and indeed, it shows that there is an urgent need for reform and support within the country's elite championships. How can clubs demand elite performances when their players are perpetually distracted by financial woes? It is therefore no wonder that the league's quality has plummeted, with players unable to focus or train effectively. Moreover, some club presidents actively block players from securing better opportunities under the pretext of loyalty or potential future benefits. This exploitative behavior undermines the very essence of professionalism in football. Club leadership must innovate, seek alternative revenue streams, and take decisive action to improve their players' welfare instead of relying solely on fecal food. Amidst this turmoil, the players remain the most aggrieved party. Many elite players earn less than 100,000 francs CFA monthly, with some receiving as little as 50,000 francs under the pretext that they are young and have a bright future. Such practices are degrading and unsustainable in professional football. How can these athletes, expected to represent Cameroon in prestigious international tournaments, live dignified lives or achieve their full potential? Numerous players are also left to bear the financial and emotional burden of injuries sustained while playing for their clubs. Cases of players abandoned after suffering career-threatening injuries are becoming alarmingly common. This is a clear indication of the lack of regard for players' health and well-being, reducing them to mere tools rather than valued professionals. When Samuel Eto'o assumed office, many believed his leadership would make a turning point for domestic football. His reputation as one of Africa's greatest footballers fueled hopes of a renaissance. However, his tenure has been marred by inconsistent policies, a confrontational leadership style, and a failure to prioritize the domestic league. Eto'o's administration has undoubtedly made efforts, such as disbursing small advances to clubs, but these actions have proven insufficient. The recent advance payment of 5 million francs CFA to each elite club is laughable in the face of the financial realities clubs face. Moreover, the Federation's lack of transparency in communicating whether this sum pertains to the previous season or the upcoming one only adds to the confusion and mistrust. With a new season beginning in less than a week, systematic changes are imperative, as these will rescue Cameroon's professional football league from the devil's sick of sin. FECAFOOT must immediately and transparently distribute sponsorship revenues, gate collections and World Cup proceeds to clubs, as these will enable clubs to meet basic obligations, including paying players and staff. Meanwhile, an independent body should be established to oversee the management and distribution of league revenues, ensuring accountability from both FECAFOOT and club presidents. And most importantly, club leadership must explore alternative revenue streams, such as private sponsorships, merchandise sales and partnerships with local businesses, as sole reliance on FECAFOOT is unsustainable, counterproductive and a total waste of time. The Federation must also engage in consistent dialogue with clubs to address grievances and foster a collaborative approach to problem solving. This is because domestic football is the foundation upon which national success is built. Club presidents, too, must rise to the occasion and take responsibility for the survival of their teams, as the players, who remain the heart and soul of the game, deserve better. Their sacrifices and dedication must be met with respect, fairness, and opportunities to thrive. The time for excuses is over. It is time for action. Anything less would be a betrayal of football and the dreams of countless Cameroonians.
Rene Kache, and there we round off the program today with contributions from Kelly Aben, Joyce Cleve Tata, Kikishi Lawrence, Rita Yosembam, George Kelong, Mercy Kusi, Regina Ngalen Doko, Moki Edwin Kinzeka, and Rene Kache. Yannick Ayangma and Christian Bisigi were the sound recordist, Joel Noah at the computer production and broadcasting system, and Chrétien Foucault at the panel mixer. The program was produced by Rita Yosembam, with coordination by George Kelong and Valerie Dikozomaru, and supervision by Madeleine Sopikoto. At the anchor, I have been Sam Bokuba, thanking you for listening.
Africa's Cameroon Calling, a production of the news department of CRTV.